Hey friends, it's Kelly. Today I'm going to share with you a lecture I just gave yesterday. I pulled the audio. This is for the conference Physician Moms Group, and it is so cool. I am talking all about stop shooting all over your sex life. This is incredibly important for any woman, not just physicians who are busy. You might have kids at home still. You might be on that go, go, go part of your career, and you're just feeling super broken because you're not desiring sex. You don't have energy for sex. You don't have time for sex. All of the things. You can't drop back into your body because your mind is just thinking about the future and the past. In this topic, in this lecture, I talk about the limiting beliefs, and I talk about caring for our body, and I talk about mindset, and I talk about the rules of female sexuality. Like, responsive desire is normal, and you're not broken if you don't have spontaneous desire, especially with the menopause changes, decreasing in hormones, and especially in long-term relationships. I'm seeing a lot of press for this lately of kind of, again, maybe it's just the books I'm reading, but the normalization of in long-term relationships, and it's anywhere between 6 months and 18 months. I just read a year in another thing I read yesterday, that spontaneous desire naturally wanes, naturally goes away because things aren't novel anymore. We have to keep desiring our partner, thinking they're the best, thinking they're the most awesome. Keep that alive. I was watching a TikTok on the Galveston diet, and somebody said they were so offended when they told when a doctor told the patient that they should date their husband. And my response was like, it's actually not a very offensive thing to say. I'm not sure how they misconstrued that. If we take our partner for granted, if we don't think the best of them, all of that decreases our interest in sleeping with them. So cultivating that attraction, cultivating the curiosity about the partner, cultivating all the good things is incredibly important because, as we know, spontaneous desire will spontaneously wane after about a year. So God bless all the people that are going on year 18 and having hot and heavy sex lives. It's because they work at it, you guys. So I hope you enjoy this talk. Without further ado, stop shooting all over your sex life. Welcome to You Are Not Broken, the only podcast that combines science, medicine, and psychology to re-educate your brain and help you live your best love life. And I'm your host, board-certified female urologist, Dr. Casperson. Hi, Physician Moms Group. Hi, women. Hi, moms. Hi, doctors. I'm so happy to be here. I am Dr. Kelly Casperson. I'm a board-certified urologist, and I practice medicine in Washington State. I am so excited to be here today to talk to you about female sexuality and to do my presentation, You Are Not Broken, Stop Shooting All Over Your Sex Life. So rapid fire is what they want. 25 minutes is what they get. So come join me. We're going to go on a whirlwind of things that nobody ever taught you about your body, even in med school or before med school, so you can regain control of your sexuality, start thinking about your body in a completely new, hopefully awe-inspiring way, and own your sexuality. Stop shooting all over your sex life. So let's share some screen and we will get going. So You Are Not Broken, that is the name of my podcast. I had a loud, actually, voice in my head for many years after I started investigating female sexuality, which I was not taught in med school. I was not taught in residency. I actually came into it probably like 7 years after I started private practice because I had a patient in my clinic room. I had cured her of her bladder cancer, and she was bawling because she was happily married but had no desire for sex, didn't want to have sex, and felt super broken. Because of her, I started on this journey of learning everything I can about female sexuality, why we're taught what we're taught, why we feel bad about it, and what we can do to kind of turn our love lives around. So I hope you'll enjoy talking with me. I've got my podcast headphones on so you guys get some good mic during this video. So here we go. You are not broken. Stop shooting all over your sex life. So again, who am I? I'm a surgeon. I work in the pelvis. Urologists typically deal a lot with the penis. We are not taught much about the female external genitalia. Remember, the female homologue is the clitoris to the penis, not the vagina. So I always thought gynecologists were taking care of this, and God bless them. I have so many gynecologist friends, but turns out they're busy dealing with babies, birth control, irregular bleeding, periods, STDs, menopause, hopefully, that they did not get a lot of training in female sexuality either. I actually ran into a gynecology friend of mine at an Ishwish conference, International Society for the Study of Women's Sexual Health. I highly guarantee you will learn so much if you go to that. So I see my gynecologist friend there, and I'm like, what are you doing here? Didn't you already learn all this? And she said, no, I didn't. And it started opening my mind to the fact that gynecologists also aren't doing this. So who's taking care of the people who are sleeping with the men that I'm giving Viagra to? Right? So this is why I think everybody should be involved in helping women with female sexual dysfunction, because right now nobody's carrying that domain. So why do we should all over our sex lives? A couple of reasons we should all over it. Number one, women are really good at beating ourselves up as far as what society expects of us. I don't eat the right things. I don't exercise enough. I'm not home enough with my kids. I should be a stay-at-home mom. I should make more money. All these shoulds that we kind of pile on top of us, we certainly do that with our sex life also. Should is used to indicate obligation, duty, or correctness. So I should have spontaneous desire for sex, even though I've been married to this guy for 15 years. I know his ins and outs. We don't really talk to each other much during the week because we're so stinking busy, and I just got off of a full week of call. We should on our sex lives, and instead of understanding how sexuality works, how our body works, how desire works, and we shouldn't feel guilty for not learning about female sexuality in the first place. Again, should means used to indicate what is probable. So she should always come with vaginal penetration. Why would you think that? You think that because you watch Hollywood movies, and that's what they do in Hollywood movies. If you're fortunate or unfortunate, whatever you are, to watch porn. Also, porn tends to be very male-centric, showing that the female is there to give him pleasure, and if she receives any pleasure, it's usually through vaginal penetration. What we find out is the vagina is not the source of pleasure in women. So we have all this should on us because we don't get an education, we get our education poorly from outside sources, and then we think we don't operate like how we learned, and so we feel broken about it. So stop shoulding all over your sex life involves learning how our bodies work in the first place to reclaim our ability to have pleasure and enjoy pleasure. So let's move on. Why should we care about this? It's just sex. Well, we are all here because of sex, unless you're an in vitro fertilization baby, test tube baby. You're here because two people had sex. So that's why we care. It is ubiquitous. It's everywhere. This is in family medicine. This is gynecology. This is psychology. This is urology. We actually all exist and work in a world where sex is very, very important. Just like we think, if we think quality sleep and exercise and eating right and mental health are all good for healthy bodies, sexuality certainly is part of that. And the WHO actually says that a healthy sexuality is part of being a healthy human. So sex is self-care. In addition, there are so many reasons that why orgasm is good and a healthy sexual life is good. I am very careful to not list all those things because it's another should, right? This is not about you should have more orgasms because you need to meet these outside criteria of what being healthy is. I always am very resistant. They're like, how many times should I be having sex a week? There's no should. Sexuality is about enjoying your own body, your own experience, and learning what works for you and your partner, if you have a partner. So there are so many different great ways to have an orgasm and why you should have an orgasm, though. We know there's some data that says that people who have consistent, frequent orgasms live longer. It's a great time. There's some data to say that people who have orgasms have less risk of heart disease. There's data that says people who have orgasms have better sleep, certainly better mood, less stress, and the increase in the immune function and ability to fight things like the common cold and viruses. So there's certainly so many health benefits to it, besides just we do it to have a baby, or we do it because we should, but it's really good for our body. But again, I'm always very careful when I say that, because I never want somebody to say, well, I didn't get my 3 orgasms in this week, or my 8 fruits and vegetables, and then you start piling those shoulds on you again. So again, also, sex is a quality. Truthfully, in heterosexual, and a lot of heteronormative words is what I'm going to use, but in heterosexual relationships, we have a orgasmic gap, a pleasure gap. So having good sex and empowering a woman to take control of her pleasure and her sexuality helps to narrow that gap, helps to create equality. So there is an equation that came out in the 1970s. I actually learned this in the book Thinking Fast and Slow by Daniel Kahneman, and they were talking about how simple equations, when they're made properly, can actually they simplify things. And this equation came out in the 70s. They looked at marriages and then they asked them how many times, a week do you have sex and how many times do you fight. So they came up with this equation, which seems too simple to be true, but sex minus fights equals a satisfied marriage. And they said in the side, you don't want a negative number. So they actually researched this and looked at the unhappy couples and happy couples, and there was actually a very strong correlation. So another reason why sexuality is part of a healthy marriage. And I would say this, a lot of people, and especially in midlife, neglect this component. It is a bond that keeps people together. We tended to get into the relationship because of sex. So nurturing it, paying attention to it, and knowing that as we age and our relationship changes, we have to continue to communicate about our sexuality because it's not that easy dopamine that happens right when you meet a new person. So sex changes through our relationships, changes through our lifespans. You have to work on it, but it really is part of a healthy relationship in most cases. There's always exceptions to anything that I'm going to say today, so I want to acknowledge that, but I tend to speak in generalizations because generalizations are there for a reason. Okay, so going back to anatomy, how many people actually learned about this in medical school? Not many. I certainly don't remember learning about female sexuality much. I remembered we all started out as is the same, and it was the genes and the hormones and the Y chromosomes and things that kind of told these undifferentiated tissues to form into female versus male. So we come from the same parts. Where we get confused in society is we always say penis, vagina. Girls have a vagina, boys have a penis. What we're missing in that is that the penis is the organ of pleasure in male. The clitoris is the organ of pleasure in female. It's not the vagina. Any vaginal orgasm that people talk about is really stimulating the clitoris through the pelvis. I remember, I'm going to show you some pictures of the clitoris coming up here. I remember learning this after urology residency and being like, that can't be right. Otherwise, I would have been taught that, and I wasn't. I thought that the clitoris was this little nub on the outside. And that's it. And literally, it's just a tip of the iceberg. And what we've found now, because we've done a lot of research on this in anatomy textbooks, in gynecology textbooks, medical school textbooks, nursing textbooks, the clitoris is underrepresented. There is significantly less anatomy given to the female external organs compared to the male organs. The other thing to know about the penis has three jobs, right? Just to say, the clitoris is the only organ in any human body whose sole purpose is pleasure. Think of, again, now three jobs of the penis. We have to urinate, we have to put semen into the female, and we have pleasure. The only job of the clitoris is pleasure. That's amazing, and you're walking around with it 24 hours a day. So here's the clitoris on the inside. Again, the glands being the tip of the iceberg. The glands is the female corpus spongiosum of the male urethra and glands. Then it comes on the inside around the vagina, and we have erectile tissue. We have erectile tissue inside the outer labia and then down in the perineum, and also the bulbs, the wings of the clitoris. And the glands in the body, all erectile tissue. Who gets taught that women have erectile tissue? Nobody. It's incredibly important to stimulate that erectile tissue in order to increase blood flow, which it makes for easier pleasure and actually makes a woman want vaginal penetration. Very important. So great pictures here. We never get taught in medical school. This is a much more descriptive picture of the external genitalia, showing the length of the clitoral body that is there, and that is the dorsal nerve of the penis and the clitoris. Again, very similar in size. So this is a dissected clitoris showing the dorsal nerve of the clitoris, and that is the body or the shaft of the clitoris in a dissected female cadaver, showing we have significant sexual tissue. It's just completely ignored. We're not taught about it. So, heterosexual paradigm. Again, penis and vagina is the heterosexual paradigm for sex. Why do women not want sex? They don't want sex because the penis goes in the vagina. It doesn't stimulate them. It doesn't turn them on. The majority of faked orgasms happen in penis in vagina situations, because the woman feels like she needs to either end it or she doesn't know how to communicate. So why are we faking orgasms? We tend to be faking orgasms because we never learned how to have pleasure and to prioritize the female in the first place. Female pleasure is paramount, should be equal. And if you're feeling low or bummed or stressed about your sex life, look at if you're participating in that heterosexual paradigm of sex starts when the vagina gets penetrated and it ends when the male has an orgasm. So the orgasm pleasure gap is biggest in heterosexual couples. We know that women who sleep with women have much higher rate of orgasms, right around 80-85%, and the majority of that activity is focused on clitoral stimulation. We lose that clitoral stimulation when you bring a man and a penis into the picture. Heterosexual male will orgasm about 90% of the time. Heterosexual female, she's down, depending upon what study you're looking at, she's down at around 60%. Majority of that is with clitoral stimulation. And we know that with vaginal penetration alone, about 15-20% of women will have an orgasm, and they think that that is because you're stimulating the clitoris through the vagina. So if young boys and girls are taught that sex is when the penis goes in the vagina, no wonder why all of our women are dissatisfied. They don't desire sex. They think it's difficult to orgasm. Instead, we're just missing the boat. It's like playing with a man's scrotum and expecting him to have an orgasm. You're close, but it's not the organ of pleasure. So the other thing why we think we're all broken is because we think desire should come before sex. We're waiting for desire to happen. We're waiting for desire to show up. So Masters and Johnson and Kaplan showed that desire came first. Now, these are people who agreed to having sex in a laboratory in the 1950s. Of course they had spontaneous desire. That was kind of an odd thing to do then and now. What Bisson has done is she has said, listen, a lot of women don't work that way. Desire doesn't come until she's actually having sex, until she's actually having blood flow, massage, pleasure, stimulation. Then she says, oh yeah, the sex is a really great thing. I completely forget about it otherwise. That happens to so many women. That's a natural female sexual response. Only about 1/3 of women have spontaneous desire, and we know spontaneous desire goes down with two things. It goes down with long-term relationships. Also goes down as our hormones decrease, perimenopause, postmenopause. Testosterone is the hormone of desire, and until we start helping women with hormone replacement therapy, and then bringing up that testosterone as well in the postmenopause area, we think there is some data there with desire. And I think we're in our infancy of helping women out postmenopausally. But if you feel broken because you don't have spontaneous desire, number one, you're not. That's just how Hollywood and the world kind of tells us that we should just be hungry for sex all the time. And that's not how we're living. We're living in a stressful environment with stress. There goes desire. We have to really focus on getting back in the body, starting to have sex, enjoying sex. That's where the desire comes from. I think of this a lot like exercise, you guys. I do not desire to have exercise on most days, but I know it's part of a healthy body, healthy relationship with myself. I'm doing preventative medicine by exercising. When I'm exercising or when I'm done with exercising, I'm like, yeah, I'm so glad I did that. It was so enjoyable. But I don't let spontaneous desire to exercise get me to the gym, get me to my gym downstairs. So it's really knowing that I know I want to have sex with myself or with this partner. I'm going to go into it with an open mind, knowing that my desire will arise when I'm there. You are not broken. That is normal female sexual response. So a couple more tips about orgasms. Foreplay is everything. We need to warm up our erectile tissue, which lies underneath our labia, in our perineum, in our clitoris and clitoral body. Foreplay is everything, and our biggest sex organ is the brain. So how we treat our partner, how our partner treats us, how do we like to be talked to, our love languages, right? It's all incredibly important for helping a woman be interested in sex, get in the right mood for sex. The other thing about orgasms is you cannot physically have an orgasm when you're thinking about the past or you're thinking about the future. This is incredibly difficult for moms who are always focused on where are the kids okay, are the kids safe, are the kids in the other room. Literally getting the mom in a place where she knows she can relax, whether somebody else is taking care of the kids or they go away for the weekend, whatever she needs to do to get into her body, to get into the moment, orgasms live in the present. That's why mindfulness is so great for sex, because it trains you that when your brain starts to wander, you can say, I'm going to bring it back. I'm not going to go there with my brain. I'm going to bring it back. extra tips on that, bringing it back into the pelvis, breathing into the clitoris, breathing into the muscles down there, really trying to get your brain into the pelvis to enjoy what's going on down there. A lot of women talk about being dissociated. They're in their head all the time, right? Working on dropping back into the body. So I say you can't frontal lobe this shit, which means you can't like think and study your way to an orgasm. It's really getting into the body, letting the body knows what to do. The body knows how to have an orgasm. We basically just have to get out of its way. The third thing on this is your stress response must be acknowledged. If you come in, you're working really hard, now you've got more stuff at home to do versus your partner, the kids need you. We need protected time for pleasure. You can't just switch from frontal brain, high functioning woman to I'm going to immediately have an orgasm. You have to give yourself time to transition. This is whatever it takes to help you focus on the now, whatever it takes to help get you in the mood, whether it's a massage, whether it's music, whether it's a tasty food, whether it's watching something sexy, reading something sexy. Women actually like that story in the head can be very, very turn on and arousing for women. So tips and tricks doesn't mean you're broken. It means you're doing what your body needs to get you into the mood. All right, I gotta go fast. This is only supposed to be 20 minutes. So shitting myths. Penis and vagina sex is what sex is. That is not true. That's the heterosexual myth that we get taught because we do not get taught anything about pleasure growing up. Sex means a number of times a week. Absolutely not. Talk with your partner about what works for you. There's high desire and low desire in every relationship, and it's not the low desire person's fault. I'm going to repeat that for the people in the back. It's not the low desire person's fault or job to rise to the high desire. We say what works for us in our relationship is twice a week. Great, wonderful, high desire person. You have a responsibility to take care of yourself for the other times. It is not the obligation of the low desire person to accept every single time. This is why we must communicate. So desire mismatch does not need to be fixed. And then orgasm happens from penetration. That's not where it happens. My recommendation, woman has an orgasm first, either with oral sex, hands, vibrators, external, clitoral stimulation, however you want to do it. Penetration is for the man. Some women really love the penetration. Do it. But I'm talking for women who are like, what do I do? What do I do? How do I bring my pleasure back into this? Those are the tips of the experts. She comes first. Give her all of the attention, have her have an orgasm, then bring in the guy. He already knows how he has an orgasm because they get trained a lot better than women get trained on what heteronormative sex is. So, checking my timer. Spontaneous desire is the goal. That's a myth. That's Hollywood. And it can be obtained from an outside source. Women are looking for a quick fix, you guys. There are some prescription medications now, two FDA approved for premenopausal women for low hypoactive sexual desire disorder. They work in the brain. They work by stimulating dopamine. They work on helping women focus on the now. I'm telling you, it can be trained to focus on the now and to work on what actually turns you on and how orgasms happen. If you don't take care of all of this other stuff that I'm talking about, your stress response, the clitoris, and communicating with your partner, a pill is unlikely to help you. Also, why are we trying to obtain spontaneous desire when we know that that's actually not the majority of women, especially women in long-term relationships? So don't forget about menopause. Hormones change. But know this about menopause. The two biggest factors that are related to whether or not a woman is in a sexually satisfying state or relationship is the availability of her partner and her menopause symptoms. Hot flashes, night sweats, menopause in and of itself decreases desire. If a woman's body image is thrown off, if she's exhausted, if she's experiencing hot flashes, Lord knows she's not in the mood to have sex. Don't forget about lube. The clitoris is not a self-lubricating organ, nor is the penis. The vagina is, but once it is aroused enough, and sometimes that's still not even enough. So there's no harm, no foul in using lubrication. Vaginal estrogen, I believe, is a preventative medicine, perimenopause, postmenopause. Why wait for a woman to have atrophy and symptoms before you treat her? Just give her preventative medicine. Why wait for skin cancer and basal cell on your face before you start using sunscreen? It's preventative medicine. Two pictures, real quick. Rachel Rubin gave these to me, a well-estrogenized woman and a woman with no estrogen postmenopause who has not been treated. That woman does not want to have sex. It is painful. It is dry. Treat her. Treat yourself so that doesn't happen to you. Goals. We want pleasure. We want equality. We want lube. We want estrogen when appropriate. We want to normalize responsive desire. Don't wait to have sex. Start having sex. Know that you're going to enjoy it if you take the time. That's where the desire comes from. Real intimacy is created with your communication, not by having sex. It's the communication, it's the difficult conversations and the vulnerability that brings you guys together. And then working on mindfulness is always helpful with orgasms. Coming out with a book called You Are Not Broken. I'd love it if you guys looked it up. If that is your jam, if you want to read more, there's a great website called OMG Yes, which is what this picture is. It tells all the different techniques for women having orgasms. It is awesome. It's the sex education we never got. She Comes First by Ian Kerner for the men to help them figure out how to pleasure a woman. Real quick on that, men in relationships care about women's pleasure. In hookup culture, women have orgasms about 3% of the time. Women don't want to have hookup culture as much as men do. They looked into that. It's because they know they aren't going to have a reliable orgasm because that's not what is prioritized in hookup culture. So if you're going to have hookup culture, no judgment here, make sure to prioritize your orgasm because it's not happening stereotypically. And then Come In As You Are by Emily Nagoski. Great book talking about brakes and accelerators on your sexual desire. If you have the brakes on all the time, the kitchen's dirty, your job is stressful, you haven't slept, the kids are up, those are brakes for sexual desire. Working on what your accelerators are can be very, very helpful. And then Becoming Clitorate by Lori Mintz. It's amazing. Talks a lot more about the orgasm gap. So stop shooting on your sex life. I love you. I hope to answer questions and answer. That is rapid fire because that is what they wanted. I threw a whole bunch at you. I hope you got at least one or five or seven great things out of that. Know that you are not broken. Stop shooting all over your sex life. Learn the simple things to help you, help your relationship, and help your patients. I love you guys so much, and thank you so much for having me here today. Hope you guys love that. It was super high paced and amazing. I packed a lot into like 25 minutes right there. Because of people like you liking this podcast, sharing it, and giving it 5 stars on Apple, it was in the top 10 in the category under Apple in America, got up to number 8 in Canada. Thank you, Canucks. And man, it's like hitting the top of the charts in like Estonia. You guys, the coolest thing was that it hit up in the top. It made it into the charts in Saudi Arabia. I'm literally being heard worldwide. Thanks to you guys. Keep sharing. We're literally changing the world, one woman, one couple at a time. I love you so much.